Today is 50 days after Easter. 1959 years ago, in Jerusalem at this time, the Holy Ghost had poured out, had filled those in the upper room, and they were on the street ministering to 3,000 people. As I've looked this week and studied, the thing that I kept hearing is that we must have another Pentecost. We're going to read the entire chapter of Acts chapter 2, but we'll start with the last verse of that chapter, which is verse 47. This is the third use of the word church, ekklesia, in the New Testament Greek. And to get to verse 47, you've got to start with verse 1, and that's kind of what we'll be talking about over the next several weeks. How do we get to this church? How do we get to this church that we read about here in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, where it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you have an NASV version, and I don't really know what NIV says, it would say the Lord added to their number day by day. That word number is ekklesia. The translators just decided to translate it number in Acts chapter 2 rather than church. It is the word church. It's ekklesia. And the Lord added to their church such as should be saved every day. It's obvious that this church, nor do I know any church, that is experiencing Acts chapter 2 today. I don't know of any church that is being added to daily, any individual church. I suppose that we could see the universal church fitting into that description. But it's obvious that in our local church, which is the one that we are responsible for, we're not experiencing this. As we began this study in about the church, I ask you to totally erase and eradicate from your thinking any preconceived ideas that we have about the church. Forget anything that we've been taught, anything that we've been told, and allow the Holy Spirit to totally reconstruct our thinking and thus reconstruct our church. That I want to prerequisite what I'm about to say today and what we're about to talk about by that very thought. I guess we all have some preconceived ideas about the filling of the Holy Spirit. But what you've got to do, if you've been taught against it, is to eradicate and erase everything that you've been told and allow the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And many of us have been taught about it, but we've been taught erroneously. And oftentimes the reason that we receive the filling of the Holy Spirit is because we want to be like everybody else that we're sitting with. We go to a church that they do that, so we want to do it because they're doing it. We feel a pressure from those that we worship with to worship like they worship and be like they are. Let me tell you, that is the wrong motive. The motive for the baptism or the filling of the Holy Ghost is to be filled with God, to allow Him to totally possess our lives, not to be like anybody else, but to be like these people in the Scriptures were and know Him in a very, very intimate way. We saw the church, first of all, in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus Christ is teaching about the church. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. The first thing we've learned about the church is the church has the keys of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is released upon the earth by the church. He says, whatever you loose will already be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind upon the earth will already be bound in heaven. It's an earth-wide ministry. The church has an earth-wide ministry of loosing and binding on the earth. He says, I'll build it. It's got to be built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. He's not John the Baptist. They said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Many places today kind of teach him along that line. You got to be like John the Baptist, or you got to be like Elijah. You got to be able to call down fire from heaven and raise the dead and work miracles. Or you got to be like one of the prophets, you got to prophesy. No. What you got to do is believe that He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everything else will find its place under that. That is the rock, that is the foundation, that is the cornerstone that He'll build His church on. Then we saw in Matthew chapter 18, that not only does the church have the keys of the kingdom for loosening and binding upon the earth, but also the church has the keys of the kingdom for individuals. Talks there about the oughts with the brother and how to handle these situations and how to try to win the 99. And the purpose is not to bring discipline upon a person. The purpose of the whole verse is to bring people back into the sheepfold. He says if one goes out, you leave the 99 and go get the one. The whole purpose of the chapter is to go get that person back. Not to bring discipline, but to bring the person back. Today what I want to project to you about the church is that it is the church that the Lord will add to. Care groups are fine and we need them. We have them. Bible studies are wonderful. You need them. We have them. But it is the church, the corporate gatherings together of Jesus Christ, that He will add to. His purpose is the church. It is the ecclesia. The word ecclesia means the meeting. It is the meeting that the Lord adds to. Coming out. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Father, I ask You to anoint us today. Work into our hearts, Father. I pray that what I am sensing and feeling right now, I will be able to project to the people that we need a Pentecost. That not only in the church world, but Father, in our individual lives, Father, in my life, I need a Pentecost. I need a filling of You. I need You to touch my life in a very special way. I need to put myself in a place to seek You that You can fill me. I pray that I will be able to project this to these people today. And that, Father, as we leave this place, that something will have been said, spoken, worked into us, that we will have a Pentecost. In Jesus' name, amen. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. Would you please say, these are devout men? Devout men. They love God. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered because there were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, Why are not all these who are speaking Galatians? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Then he lists all these different nationalities. Verse 11, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them in our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Please notice, because I probably won't mention it again, that when we are speaking in tongues, we are speaking the mighty deeds of God. Do you see that in your Bible? Is that what your Bible says in verse 11? We hear them as they were speaking in tongues. We hear them speaking of the mighty deeds of God. And they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. Comment here, please, that notice in verse 5 that we said they were devout men from every nation. They loved God, but at the same time they were mocking those who were speaking in tongues. It's very like today. There are people in our city who love God. They are devout men and women. They love God. But they mock those who speak in tongues. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all, and you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind. I like that NAS version, all mankind, because it's all inclusive. And he makes it very clear in the rest of this verse. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Would you please say sons and daughters? Sons and daughters. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women. Would you say both men and women? Both men and women. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The word prophesy there is a form of the word preach. Women can preach. In the last days, that is okay. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before, that's very interesting to me, before the great and glorious day of the Lord, men and women are going to prophesy and people are going to talk in tongues. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man delivered up by the predestined plan and foreknowledge of God. Please say predestined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed to the cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I was also beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow the Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. This is what Peter's preaching. And so because he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we all witness. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he was poured forth that which you both see and hear. Let me read that verse one more time. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit the promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth that which you both see and hear. The promise of the Holy Spirit is something that you can both see and hear. The promise of the Holy Spirit is something that we can see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ and Jesus, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they heard what Peter was preaching. When they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. What is the name that we're baptized in? The name of Jesus Christ. That works forgiveness. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise, reference back to 33, something that you can see and hear, for the promise is for you and for your children. And for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. How many want to be full of the promise? How many want your children to be full of the promise? How many want all your seed to be full of the promise? For as many as the Lord our God shall call shall be full of the promise. Verse 40. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Think our generation is perverse? So then, those who had received His word were baptized. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Notice what was added. Bodies weren't added. What was added? Souls. Spirits weren't added. What was added? Souls. Thinkings. Minds. Attitudes. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship of breaking of bread, that's communion, and to prayer. Tomorrow night we begin again our corporate prayer times. Church that the Lord is going to add to daily has got to continually devote themselves to prayer. We're expecting all the leadership to be here. We're requesting the whole church to be here. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Maybe you've got plans. Well, then maybe you can make it the next Monday night. Won't be like anything we've done before. I don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to seek God. We're going to get in that place that we're talking about here in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3 right there. We're going to find that place. We're going to seek Pentecost. Continually devoting ourselves. Proper teachings. Breaking of bread. Communion. Together. Prayer. 43. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. King James Bible says fear. It's the Greek word phobia. Had a phobia. It's not a reverential fear. It was frightened of God. Church that God's going to add to daily is going to preach the eternal gospel. You read about the eternal gospel in Revelation 14. Eternal gospel is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Eternal gospel is fear of God. Give me the chapter verse there, Lance. Phobia. 14 and 7 is the verse. Revelation 14 and 7. Eternal gospel. Everlasting gospel. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. It's interesting to me how those two tie together. Signs and wonders are associated with fearing God. And all those who had believed were together and had all things common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind, hamathamadon, hot passion, in the temple, and day by day they were in the temple every day, and breaking bread from house to house, having communion from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number, to their ecclesia, to their church, day by day, those who were being saved. Notice that saved is being saved, or King James Bible says should be saved. It's a continuous process. The Lord is saving me. He has saved me, and He shall save me. It's a daily deliverance from the powers of the devil. What salvation really is. Breakdown of this chapter is in five parts. The Holy Spirit fell and filled. Second part is Peter preached and they heard something. Third part is 3,000 souls were baptized and added. Fourth part is they devoted themselves continually to the seven things. And then fifthly, the Lord added day by day those who were being saved. Now, what my emphasis is that we want to have a church. We want to have a work. We want to have an ecclesia. We want to have something that God will add to day by day. Going out knocking on doors is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that, but God's got to add them to the church. Do you see that? The Lord added 3,000 souls. The Lord added day by day. There's nothing wrong with knocking on doors and doing those programs. There's nothing wrong with that. But if the Lord doesn't add them, I don't care how many doors we knock on or how many people we get to pray a sinner's prayer. If the Lord doesn't add them, it just doesn't happen. We've all gotten people probably to pray the sinner's prayer that we don't know where they're at today. That's a good start, and we need to do those things. But God's got to add them, and we want to have a church that God will add to. God's going to send people to where they can be ministered to. He's just not going to send them just so we can have a lot of seats full here. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord adds. And what we've got to have in our thinking and our mentality to have a proper biblical church is that we've got to have a place prepared so when God sends people, they be ministered to. Now, what I see in this chapter here, in these 47 verses that we just read together, what I see here is the kind of a church that God adds to. And the first thing, and all we're going to talk about is number one, we got to have a place that people can be filled. It all begins with Pentecost. There's three feasts. Exodus chapter 23 verse 14 says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. And then he lists them. And the first one is Passover. 14th day of the first month. That was the 14th day. They killed the lamb on the 15th day. They'd ate nothing but unleavened bread. And that was for the rest of the week. They had the unleavened bread and Passover. Now, is the Passover fulfilled? Or do we still do kill lambs and put it on the doors and eat the unleavened bread? Come on. Is it fulfilled? How is it fulfilled? Who is our Passover? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is our Passover. It's fulfilled. Then, 50 days after that feast, after the Passover feast, come first fruits. We call it Pentecost. It became known as Pentecost because it was 50 days. Penty, 5 or 50, whichever it is. Anyway, it's 50 days after the first after the Passover feast came the first fruits feast. This is Pentecost that we're reading about. Was Pentecost fulfilled? Passover was fulfilled. Pentecost is fulfilled. Trumpets will be fulfilled. It's the Day of Atonement. It's going to be the great and terrible day of the Lord. But we know that Passover and first fruits have been fulfilled. How many of you experienced the Passover feast in your own personal life? You experienced the blood of Jesus Christ upon your life. He became your Passover. Okay? Most of us, just about all of us, raised our hands. How many of us have experienced the first fruits feast? It's fulfilled in your life with evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's most of us. If you haven't experienced that one, you need to. It needs to be fulfilled in you. The fulfillment of first fruits is Pentecost, just like the fulfillment of Passover is Jesus Christ. This is the coming of the Holy Ghost. He's come. I hear Christians say all the time, if God wants me to be filled with the Spirit and talk in tongues, then He'll just do it. No, it's not the way it happens. What God does is wait for you to get into place. Who was filled? Did He fill those devout Jews that mocked? Is that who He came and filled? You can believe in God. Hear me. Be devout. Love Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. And not be filled. There was a lot of devout Jews in Jerusalem. There was a lot of believers. In Romans and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is telling us there about the ascension and how many people saw Him ascend. How many? 500. Read it. You're not familiar enough with the script. 500 people saw Him ascend in 1 Corinthians 15. 500. Above 500 is what he says. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry there and wait for the Holy Ghost. 500, at least 500 believed on Him, saw Him go up into heaven. They believed. But how many were in that upper room? 120. Did He fill the 500 that saw Him go up, or did He fill the 120 that went and found a place to be filled? What we've got to do is get in that place. I'm talking several different things. First of all, you need to fulfill Pentecost in your individual life. You need to get into a place where God can fill you with His Spirit. And when you do, all the way through Scriptures, the evidence of that is the speaking in other tongues. Secondly, what I'm saying is that our church must be a kind of a church that provides a place for people to come and be filled with His Spirit. Not so they'll speak with other tongues, but so they'll have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Speaking in other tongues is just an outpouring of the Spirit. It's the evidence. And I don't have time to show you all the scriptures. You'll either have to take my word for it or look it up. So I'm saying a lot this morning. The main thing I'm saying is that we need to be shaken again. This church, this body, this local assembly needs to be filled with Him. Programs won't work. We've tried programs. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The word filled is not very complicated. This is what it means. You're filled. And you can't hold any more. You want all of God you can get. And if that means talking in tongues, you're willing to do it. How many want to be that full of God? Don't you? Your cup runneth over. That's all filled means. We don't do it so that we'd be like Monty or be like me. Do it because we want God. We're filled. I believe, this is my belief, I believe that a church that the Lord will add to daily is a church that is filled with the Spirit. How many of you would agree with that statement? Sure. And I believe that His sons and His daughters will prophesy. And I believe to get to verse 47 of chapter 2, I believe we've got to go through verses 1 through 16. I believe we need to be filled with the Spirit. I believe we need to be in a place where God can fill us. I love God. And I know that you love God, or you wouldn't be here today. You're devout. And what I'm asking us to do today is completely erase from our thinkings and our mentalities anything, anywhere that anybody's ever given us, and just do what the Scripture says do. Get in the place and let Him fill us. First thing they did is they heard something. Heard something that sounded like a mighty rushing wind. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you must first hear something. You'll hear syllables that cannot be uttered, that you don't know what it's saying. You just know you're hearing something. You're full of God. God wants to come forth out of your mouth. You're hearing something. What is the church today hearing? What are we hearing? How many want to hear the Holy Ghost? Then they saw something. It was cloven tongues, like as a fire. They saw the fire of God diversifying itself and sitting upon each of them. You got to see yourself with the fire of God talking in tongues. Hear it, then say it. See it, then you'll say it. They spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you be filled with Him. You got to seek Him. You want to find Him. My wife received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let me start with myself. I was wanting to be like everybody else. Everybody in the church spoke in tongues. We went to that kind of a church. Pentecostal church. And so I wanted to do what the preacher did and the pastor did and everybody else did. How many knows that's not the reason that we need to talk in tongues? My wife, when she was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she was seeking tongues and seeking the Spirit of God. And she would stand. She literally, I remember seeing her stand. And everybody else was sitting. She was just seeking the Lord. She was hearing it. But what she thought she was hearing was a mimic of the pastor's wife. She thought she was mimicking the pastor's wife. She thought that she was just going to say what the pastor's wife said. When she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they speak nothing alike. There's their prayer language, their tongues, it's nothing alike. That's just a trick of the devil. The devil's going to tell you, well, that's just you. You're just mimicking. How many know what I'm saying now? Am I telling you the truth? It's not what it is. But that is, that's God wanting to come out of your mouth. So that you can, what did He say there? He said, they heard them all speaking and giving and glorifying God. Is that what? The mighty deeds of God. Out of when we talk in tongues, we're speaking out the mighty deeds of God. But it's not because Delbert's up here preaching about doing it, trying to put you under some condemnation trip so that you'll come up here and get baptized in the Holy Ghost, talk in tongues. I want to make sure that that's not what you're, any reasons behind anything that we do anymore. Don't you come in here to go to church because you feel condemned and you're supposed to be? Won't you come in here because you want to come here?
I don't want you getting baptized in the Holy Ghost talking in tongues because I do it, or because Judy does it, or because Roger Grimm does it, or because Ted Cash does it, or because Tebow Brock does it. I want you to do it because you want God. You want to be filled with Him.
Puts a whole other light on it, doesn't it, Randy? You want your house shaken. You want that temple filled with His presence and His glory. You want to feel God so strong that you can't stand up. You hear something, you'll hear something. Many of you have already heard something. You're thinking it's your flesh, or you're thinking it's you're mocking somebody else. Then you got to see something. You got to see yourself speaking in tongues and glorifying the mighty deeds of God. Thirdly, you got to say something. Say something. They spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then they went out and they witnessed, and 3,000 souls were saved. You know why I think that Pentecost has not been what Pentecost is supposed to be, that we haven't seen the coming in? Because we've received it because somebody else was doing it, or because we were going to the church where they did it, or because we wanted to have an experience. And maybe all those things are fine, but that's not what's going to bring 3,000 people to the Lord. What's going to bring people to the Lord is when they find a place where people really are seeking the Lord and wanting to be filled with Him. Where Pastor Tebow doesn't have to get up here and whip us with a whip to make us praise. We just want to praise Him. We live for Sunday morning so that we can come in and praise Him. So that I don't have to twist your arm and make you feel like your arm is being twisted so you come on Monday nights to prayer. We live to come and pray. So that we come together corporately. It's not because we're under some kind of condemnation trip. Because we can't wait to get together. Love one another. Experience Him. Eat of Him. Handle the body of Christ. That's Hamathomadon. That's a hot passion. Rather than Sunday being the first day of the week and church something we should do, the other 6 days should rotate around the Lord's Day. And we're excited when it's Sunday. That's what I see here. Of people getting in the place where God can fill their lives with Him. Nothing else is going to work. I can preach condemnation on you, and I've probably done it. And you'll have to come because you'll know that Delbert will be saying something bad about you if you're not here. We can get up here and whip with whips to make us dance and praise. Oh, we want to leave that. Is it okay if we just totally get away from that? If we just totally get away from anything like that and just come here because this is where God's planted us, and it's just fun, and it's what we want to do, and we're seeking God. That's all I want to say today. I want to look at this others, but there's too much, and this is what God's saying. This is Pentecost. So I want to do two things today. Acts chapter 4. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 just so you'll see that I'm biblical and what I'm about to do. Church was now going through some persecution. They had arrested some of the apostles. They had beaten them, sent them back to be with theirs. They came back in. They all prayed together. And then in verse 31 of Acts chapter 4, and when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They had already been filled. We've already read it. Saw it in Acts chapter 2. Now there's a refilling. I have been filled with the Spirit on an initial occasion, but I have been refilled many times. I was saved with my initial confession and initial belief in my heart, but God has saved me over and over and over again. He has saved me, He is saving me, and He shall save me. You have been filled. You need to be refilled. And then you will be filled again. We leak. How many of you admit, I've leaked out a little bit? We come, we get charged up, we're all excited about the things of God, and by the time tonight comes, we'll be leaked down a little. Like a tube on a bicycle or a tire that has a little hole in it, and we just leak out a little. Need to get refilled. So what we're going to do, two things. One, you need refilling. You want God to fill you like I filled this glass. Just full. Can't hold anymore. But you want to be filled like that. I want you to come down. Just kind of stand on this side. We want to see the place shake. We want to seek God. We want Pentecost. Never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Never talked in tongues. Want to. Totally erased from your thinking what you've been taught and told in the past, that it's wrong or whatever. But you see in the Scriptures that that's how the church actually began. You see it. You want to be what God wants you to be. You want to be filled with Him. I want you to come stand over here. I want to lay hands on you and pray with you. If you receive it, praise God. If you talk in tongues, that's wonderful. If you don't, you're not condemned. You're sure welcome here. I don't believe you got to be a tongue talker to be saved. Read it in Acts chapter 19. Paul saw those Ephesians and he said to them, he says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Can you believe without receiving? Sure. There was 500 that saw Jesus ascend. They believed. They may not have talked in tongues. I want all of it. I want you to have all of it. I want this to be a place where people can come and be filled. Our church needs to be that kind of a provision for our city. Not just to come and have exuberant praise and worship or have a good word preached or some strange revelation or whatever, something that I get. What we need is to be a place where people can come and be filled with God. Promise is not just for you, but who else is it for? Your children, and for all those, as many as the Lord your God shall call. That's what we want here. That's the vision of this place. Want to be filled again? Want to just, God, shake your life, just fill you up? Want you to come down right now, right over here. Never been filled. Want to experience something. Want God to fill your life. You're kind of tired and running in neutral. Want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Come down right over here. And after we've done this, what we're going to do is we're going to praise God. We're just going to praise His name. Yes, that's fine. Right over here. Never been filled, want to be filled. Fine. You can go get them. Bring a whole church in here. Bring us all in here. That's all experiencing. Fullness of God. How many want to have a place like that? Don't you? We need that. Amen. I'm so tired of trying to be something that maybe I'm not. So tired of, and please hear me right, people doing things because somebody else is doing it. So tired of that. I want to be filled with Him. I want our church to be a place we can be filled with Him. Need to move up a little bit so they can get on up in here also. This the only guy? Well, all right. All right. Amen. Seek God, son. Seek God. Be filled with Him. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read in here in Acts chapter 4. I wish they would hurry. Are they coming? I'm going to read their prayer. It worked for them. I mean, believe it'll work for us. It talks about God's predestination, but how Jesus is bigger than anything the devil, Herod, Pontius Pilate can do. And it talks about how the place can be shaken and how they went out with a boldness. Went out with a boldness. Okay. Well, let your kids just come to you and you know what to do with them. You know what to do with them. And then we're just going to praise His name. Pastor Tebow and the praise team can just come up here and we'll just praise Him. We'll do this as long as we need to. As long as the Lord our God desires for us to do this. This is the day. This is Pentecost. We need a Pentecost, don't we? We need a Pentecost. Amen. Look at Dave Schaefer. And Dave's laying in bed one night. Woke himself up talking in tongues. Is that right? Had a little trouble from time to time getting it to come forth again. But he knows it's supposed to, don't you? That's what he wants. All right. Been filled with the Spirit. Want to be filled with the Spirit again? All right, that's fine. You minister to your kids or whatever. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to minister to this young man over here. Begin to hear something, okay? See yourself saying something, and then I'm going to come down there, lay hands on you, and you will speak as the Spirit gives you utterance. You will speak that which you're hearing. Okay. Verse 24, "And when they heard this, they lifted their voices..." to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is Thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is them. Is that right? Did God do that? Did He make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them? Who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your father David, thy servant did say, Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly in His city they were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod was joined together with Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever.